Hello and welcome to Label Sections Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlin Esau, and today we're joined by three expert leaders to join the roster this week, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome to Max Norcren, who's all about the reality of open banking, payments, and innovation. With a wealth of experience in the financial services sector, particularly in establishing partnerships with major banks, Max is all about building innovation ecosystems within the financial services industry. Also, hello and welcome to Laszlo Van Leeuwen, who is focused on building the next generation of digital experiences across design, music, and sound, as well as cryptocurrency and Web3. Welcome, Laszlo. Welcome to Pablo Ferreros-Bennett. Pablo helps brands move from generic touchpoints to unforgettable experiences by applying neuroscience to marketing in rigorous, measurable ways. Welcome, Pablo. Reverse mentoring. So this is sort of where you're mentored by someone who is essentially more junior than you in whatever your role is. And it's something that executives are taking to more and more. We've sort of learned that mentors are these people who've learned from their experience. And so we can learn from their experience in exchange. Do you think that reverse mentorship schemes work? What do you feel is it that it can offer as opposed to traditional mentorship? Anyone can jump in here.
All right. I have a good example, actually, here in Canada. It's a good example of how it works very well. So one of the big five banks, the strategy they've done around AI and crypto space was actually not to get a bunch of executives in a room and, go through some courses from some experts or consultants or whatever. What they've actually done is they've empowered their more junior staff who are naturally more interested in this, their hand and say, hey, are you into the crypto space? What are you doing in the AI space? And they actually put them together. So they put a group of like 20, 30 more junior folks. And then eventually some leaders came up who kind of owned that space for the bank and started to then present their findings and their use cases and their successes to the executives. And the executives empowered that so that all of a sudden they're being reverse mentored by the more junior folks, and the more junior folks love it because they have the opportunity to actually own something and deliver something meaningful within the bank.
Pretty cool.
We also used this when we were developing IOBA with MTM. Because one of our issues were that many people who were using the app that we now want for marketing to offer them, some of them had never even used a smartphone before. Right. So in essence, we had to figure out, okay, you teach us how you use a phone so that we can know how to make our app better for you. So we sent out these research groups to people and literally, sat with them. Okay, here's your phone. Show us how you're installing the app. What are you doing with it? How are you using it? Where do you have difficulties and where can we improve? They weren't specifically younger, but I say it's reverse mentoring because it's like a bunch of developers going out to people. It's the first time using a smartphone. And it helped us a lot. It gave us a lot of valuable insights.
In my case, my company, I am 40 years old. I am the old guy. I am grandpa. So I am learning a lot from them. So they are like 22, 23 years old. And what I like to do is I use it like a reverse mentoring. I don't think it's the correct concept, but I use it like that. It's like when I go to meetings with a client or something and I tell them, you are the leader now. I will stay here. So do your thing. Let me see how you think. Because if I do the thing, you will see how I do and you will not tell me anything wrong about how I do it. Even if I tell you, okay, tell me what would you do different? What would you say? Focus this project, or what are the pros and cons and so on. So I tell them without advice, like, okay, you manage this meeting. I will not correct you. I will not say anything. You budget, you close the conditions and everything. And for me, it's a good thing to understand them because sometimes I think there is a generation gap and it's good to put somebody else's glasses sometimes to see in a different way, right? Because sometimes we are like, I am like this because I know how it works, how supposedly is successfully working. So I do the things how I know, and I am not open to sometimes in my mistakes. I am not open to other perspectives, right? So sometimes it's good to say, okay, tell me what, how would you do it, and do it, and let me learn. And sometimes we have learned a lot of things in the process, right?
That's actually a really good call out. I've lived through the experience of, I was at a company for 4 years, and I was tapped on the shoulder by some of the executives. And they said, listen, if you want to stay here for longer, it'll be good if you see some other parts of the company. So they had this process of yes. moving people around to see the more of it. So I was tapped on the shoulder and I was invited to start my first move to a different team. And I was dropped into the, I'll call it the deep end of the very deep ocean, where there was a team that was known as, well, there was the perception within that vertical that this team was consistently underperforming. They were consistently double, triple over budget. Like things were going bad. Mm-hmm. The other part about this team was at that point, I was 32. The average age on the team before I joined was like 45, 50. So I was coming in to fix this team at much younger than the rest of the team. And this was also during midst of COVID when we were all early COVID, when we were all still working remotely. So how do I come in into this team of older folks who, you know, to Pablo, to your point, like, how do I tell them that we need to fix things and things are not good? And the way I approached this was by working to build trust slowly. So I had to go build trust with the executives that were always yelling and complaining about this team, and slowly build trust with each of the team members. There were five of them. Really what was really helpful for me was I was able to identify a few folks that I felt that we could communicate better with earlier. So sooner than later, I had to prioritize, you know, how do I approach which person I work with first, second, and third. And at the end of the day, it was all about transparency and building that trust. So when I went into a meeting, number one, when I went into a meeting where executives were yelling at us, I was the one talking. I had my team member there, but I said, listen, I'll take this. I'll ask you to jump in for certain things, but I'll take it. So that was how I think I built trust with the team. And then with the executives, I started to be very clear and explain line by line, like, what happened and why we're here. And oftentimes it was actually the client's fault. Not the right way to put it, but it was like the client would give us a brief of like, we need these four things done. And then each of those four things would mushroom into, you know, two or three other things, as we know, typical project management. One challenge that I think I worked with on the team with very hard was as soon as they started to, like before I got in, it seemed like they just took the four things, priced the four things and off they went, did not add the fact that there's now 15 things. So I started to work very hard on that just mindset of, if you hear in a call that they now want this and also that, now that's like two things, not one thing. So we got to be very clear and communicate early on. And so it's all about trust, transparency, and communication in my experience.
Awesome. There's something else I feel that has come out of the sort of influx of startup culture, which is that even in big corporations, there's been sort of like this very slight, but this movement towards flatter structures and sort of playing with the hierarchy a little bit where it's more about the collaboration, it's bottom up, it's top down, it's sort of all directions. And this has come from the more and more startups in the space and more challenger brands and more of these smaller companies going with this flat structure, where there isn't one person who is the know-it-all because everybody's learning the new thing as it's coming out. And I think this, we're seeing this with AI, there isn't an age of who the AI, expert is. There isn't it's a 12-year-old or it's like a 65-year-old. There's no, and everything in between.
Yeah, 80-year-old.
Because we're all sort of learning as we go.
I was saying it could even be an 80-year-old.
100%. I think it's just all new. My 70-year-old dad is just super into like ChatGPT right now. It is like...
Yeah, mine too.
We're a bit worried about it, but we're gonna let him be until the revolution happens. But so he's fine so far. he hasn't given up any of his details yet. But yeah, I think that idea of a more open, less rigid, you know, this is the manager, VP, SVP, EVP structure, sort of kind of it's there in a lot of the big corporations, but it's slowly moving into a bit of more of an open, fluid structure. And this is something we're seeing a lot of with the companies that we work, where there is this movement between different ways of work.
Yeah, there's a joke about that ChatGPT thing that I'll share quickly. So there's a comic that I read online, XKCD, one of those comics was two offices. On the one side, the employee tells their boss, "Look at how smart I am. I use ChatGPT to expand these three bullet points into a well-structured document." And on the other side, the receiving side, the employee says, "Look how smart I am. I use ChatGPT to collapse this document into three bullet points."
Yeah, we're just going back and forth.